Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but, we know on social media you really need to verify who you're talking to, and you know credible news agencies when you see them. I do know that if you're reading a credible news agency and you read something that, you know, you can trust it generally. But I think in this climate, what we're finding more and more is that there's a lot of crap out there that isn't true. There is a Twitter account, I'm not even going to give the name of it, that puts out fake quotes, intentionally inflammatory fake quotes. And maybe they're doing it as a parody, maybe they're not. But it created a stir the week of Oregon-Auburn because there was an inflammatory quote about Auburn that was put out. This week, same account put out a quote with Mario Cristobal, who did not say this, said, quote, "To be honest, it's another warm-up game before the Pac-12 championship. You may think I'm joking, but Washington and the North in general has gone soft," end quote. Mario Cristobal didn't say that, but the quote is put out like it's a quote. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, has got his finger on the pulse of this. He's joining us now. Prehm, what are we seeing here?
I don't even know how really to explain it. It's fake news, as much as I don't want to say that. It's unfortunately where we're at in society and life, where like everyone's always believed what they've read, but now anyone can create their own kind of media identity, I guess. And you know, if they put it out there and it gets a lot of retweets, and you know, it must be real, right? And unfortunately, that's where we are, where it's people are creating news and making it fake and presenting it like it's real.
So if you have a parody account, by and large, the rules on Twitter, you know, say that it must obviously be a parody account. But this particular account, which I'm not even going to give it the dignity of, you know, naming the name of the account, just puts out these quotes. Now, what's the latest with this? Because I saw you kind of having a back and forth with whoever runs the account.
Yeah, I mean, the kid's come out and said that he's a 17-year-old kid. He's going into college at Washington, and he's trying to turn this account into, a real trusted identity for media, for college, you know, college football stuff. And he's gonna use, you know, attribute quotes to the proper, you know, channels and where it comes from and whatnot. And you just can't do that. He said he wants to, you know, move past all the drama, is what he said. And unfortunately, that's not, you know, what we are in society. We don't, that things don't go that way. Like, you don't just get to, you know, slander and you know, make up all these fake quotes and cause, quite honestly, headaches probably for media departments, you know, across the country. That, you know, he didn't just do it for Oregon Auburn. He's done it for, I think, a Georgia player. He's had that happen. He's made up some other quotes with some players in the ACC and in the Big Ten. And I'm sure, you know, schools have had to at least come out and be like, hey, we didn't say this, or, you know, at least figure out, you know, back channeling of you know, where it's coming from and how to handle it. And you don't just get to, you know, cause all this uproar and then say, oh, well, it was all a joke, I'd like to move on. Like, you, the reality is in the real world that you say this stuff, it's free speech and you get to do with it, but there's consequences that come with, you know, making up fake accounts and fake quotes and running it with, you know, the intent that you want to cause a stir. And then when that stir comes back on you, cry, you know, oh, I'm being attacked and let's just move on. Like, that's not how the world works.
What's the worst, most inflammatory thing that this account has tweeted?
probably, you know, early in the couple weeks ago, I think, I can't remember the player and the school it was, and that's a fault on me, but he pulled a video of a height of a freshman football receiver, and it was a video of a fight, and he completely made it out to be that he was attacking a physically challenged person. And in that video, it wasn't even, it was two high school football teammates having, yes, obviously a fight, but he was twisting the, you know, the setting and turning it around. And that to me, that was really bad. Of you're taking something that actually happened and making it seem even worse than what it really was. And, you know, one of the guys in the video tweeted at him saying, one, I'm not physically challenged or mentally challenged, and I'm an elite track athlete. And B, the guy that's in this video with me fighting, we're actually really good friends. And this was just a heated moment between two athletes, and, you know, caused a lot of uproar in that.
We're talking to Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. All right, what are we supposed to do with accounts like this? Like, I was talking to Softy about this after the show yesterday. He came on yesterday's show. He takes a lot of heat. I take some heat. I have decided to mute people rather than block them. But what do you do?
Yeah, I normally just mute them, because if you bring attention to them, that's what they want. But for whatever reason, I feel like this one went too far down the line, and it doesn't. The person that runs this account is not able to accept the blame, and I think in some instances you have to remind that person of, hey, like, you caused a lot of trouble for a lot of people, and when you want to be legit and be treated legit, you haven't issued apologies, you haven't, you know, backtracked and stepped forward and accepted, you know, the blame for all the troubles that you have, and you want to just move past the drama, like, you can't do that. That's not, and I hate to say it, but that's, you know, part of society is that's where we're at, of the reset video game, you know, mentality of, well, this isn't working out, I'm just going to start over. And that's what he wants to do. And unfortunately, in life, that's not how it works. And so,
why doesn't he just start a new account if he wants to come out and be like, I want to be a legit journalist? Why? What is it about that account that he's so attached to?
It's got followers. I mean, he's got 3,000 followers for it, and that, I mean, to my mind, it's sad that he's got that many people, you know, following him. But it's the nature of the beast, right? Where you just assume, you look at an account, oh, this person's got 10,000 followers, he must be credible, I'm going to retweet it, or I'm going to believe it. And, you know, that's probably why he wants this account to stay, you know, active, is because he's got at least some kind of attraction of some kind of a following.
Yeah, I always look at this and I go, okay, why would anyone take it seriously? And apparently there are like 3,000 people who do. Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, is with us. I do take you seriously. Oregon, Washington.
Thanks.
Who do you like?
Oregon. I'm looking at this game, and the more I think about it, I wrote a column on the site today of, if Oregon is who they are under Mario Cristobal, and that's a team that's physical and a team that's strong, mentally, you know, mentally tough, and, you know, and their identity is to win the trenches, this is a football game where they need to rely on the run game and not the passing game. I think Justin Herbert can set them up to win the game, but what will ultimately decide if they win or not, I think, is the offensive line, because Washington's defense is, Jimmy Lake is a great defensive coordinator, and he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the conference and probably in the country, and every year their defense is good. And the reason for that is they don't allow big plays. They don't allow you to rip off explosion plays, and they position two safeties 20 yards down the field from the line of scrimmage as kind of the, you know, the safety net. We don't allow anything to get behind us. We wrap up and we tackle. And the weakness of that, though, is that they're playing now basically 9-on-10. You eliminate the quarterback from the offensive side of the football, and, you know, you have 10 offensive players against 9 Washington players in the box, per se. And if Oregon is who they say they are, and the physical team, the stronger team, and, you know, they rely on that offensive line, they run the football until Washington has to adapt. And on top of that, Oregon's offensive line, four out of their five starters are over 309 pounds, and the Huskies don't have one guy in their front seven that is over 280 pounds, 285 pounds in their front group. And they play a defense with five defensive backs. So Oregon should run the football and then force UW to bring one of those safeties up into the box, and then that's when you hit them with the deep shots of Justin Herbert and whatnot. So I think it's going to be a game where both teams are going to try and run. I like Oregon winning this game. I said earlier today on our site, 28-13 is kind of where I'm at with Oregon football and winning this football game. I kind of wish I would have made it maybe something like 28-17. I think UW might get two touchdowns, but I don't think Oregon needs to score more than 20 points to win this football game.
Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. If Oregon doesn't win this game, if Washington somehow does this, we have more chaos in the Pac-12 conference. Where does that put Oregon down the stretch of this Pac-12 schedule?
It's weird because it's a rivalry game, and you can't say, "Oh, well, a loss here doesn't matter." But in the grand scheme of things, the Ducks have a two-game lead over the Huskies going into this one. So if they win, they essentially have to lose four times, and Washington have to win out for the Huskies to surpass the Ducks. So if they lose, they still have that one-game lead. They still have the ability to stay in first place in the Pac-12 North. So nothing changes in that regard in the Pac-12 standing. So luckily for Oregon, if they lose it and it doesn't go their way, I'm sure they're going to be upset. They're going to be very mad, frustrated, and whatnot. But they still will have that one-game lead. It just makes their margin of error for a game against Washington State next week where, look, the Cougars have won four in a row against the Ducks. You can't say that's an automatic win, even though, or an easy win, or a game that they should probably win because of history. You know, the Cougars have won four straight, and none of them have really been all that close. And then they have to go to USC the following week. So that's why this game is so important, A, because it's your rival, and on top of that, you put more distance between your biggest threat in the league, and you've got some tough games coming up. And look, ASU is still looming on the schedule, and we'll learn a lot about them this week too because they have to go to Utah and play a really good game against a top 25 opponent in the Utes. And but Oregon still has to go down to ASU too. So there's three more games on this Oregon schedule after this weekend that they could lose. I think that realistically lose and. So that's why Oregon can't afford to lose this game. But if they can win it, all of a sudden it becomes very difficult for someone else to catch them in the north.
All right, Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. I appreciate you, man. Good stuff. Thanks for updating us. Are you on the road, by the way?
So, yeah, I'm driving through Portland right now.
All right, so give us the traffic report for people who are making the trip. You've come all the way through Eugene.
Right, yep. Approaching the Terwilliger Boulevard exit here on I-5 North, and we're in bumper to bumper right now. It's in spurts, it'll spread out a little bit, and then it gets back to bumper and bumper. Every time I come through Portland around this time, I'm always reminded why I've refused to move up here, even though my parents have asked me to do that multiple times. It's tough traffic.
If you moved up here along with all those other people in traffic, if you lived here, we wouldn't be in traffic. You'd be home.
That's very true. That's very true.
All right, Matt Preem, I'll see you at the stadium.
All right, sounds good. Thanks,
all right,
John.
There's Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. All right, I want to hear from you. Are you in traffic? Are you stuck in traffic? You've heard this radio show or parts of this show in the run-up to Washington against Oregon. Look, I still think we're getting to know Mario Cristobal and this coaching staff. I'm interested to see what they're going to do in this game. Maybe there's something we learn about Justin Herbert, but I think the Oregon coaching staff is something that we really need to focus on. I also am looking over at Oregon State going, what will they do in the wake of a bad loss? I want your phone calls right here. 503-417-7575 is the number. We got the 2 o'clock hour ahead. I want you to get your predictions in. I want you to tell me where you are in the traffic. Give us the scouting report if you're somebody who's driving up to the game. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. So I stumbled upon this story on online. This is a pretty good job. There is a website, a digital publication that offers reviews on technology devices that is offering a contest online. They are going to pick five select Disney fans who will volunteer to binge watch Disney movies and review them. They're basically saying you can get $1,000 for binge watching Disney movies. You have to watch 30 movies and TV shows in 30 days after the Disney streaming service launches. They'll pay you $1,000 for it. Here's what I want to say. First of all, would you do it? Would you do this for $1,000? 30 movies. I'm trying to think of the time commitment for 30 movies. Also, I want you to tell me about the worst job you've ever had. 503-417-7575. Give me the worst job you've ever had. I've had some bad jobs. I was probably 17, and my parents lived near a Christmas tree farm. It was a bad job. It wasn't a bad job because, you know, it was like you're outdoors. That part of it's good. It was bad because it was hard. You know, we were outside. There was irrigation pipes. We were trimming trees. When people cut down a tree, and the nuns would come in and they'd cut down a tree, they weren't carrying the tree back to the car. It was me with sap all over me and mud, and I was making $5 an hour. I felt like my grandfather would say, oh, I made 12 cents an hour. I'd be like, what? I made $5 an hour carrying those trees for that tree farm. I also worked as a Domino's pizza delivery driver while in high school. That was bad because it was embarrassing, and I had to wear the Domino's hat and the Domino's t-shirt. It was like this light blue, unmistakable Domino's shirt. And the problem was I lived in, you know, a small community. We would get these calls, and I would go to deliver the pizza, and it would be somebody I was going to high school with. Like, their family had ordered the pizza. And I'm humiliated. I'm like, oh, I got to go to the door. Might be a girl that was in high school with me. I would see her. I didn't want to do that. That was a bad job for a whole nother reason. It was humiliating. And I got to the point where, like, I didn't want people to see me in my Domino's gear. So the order would come into Domino's. I would take the pizza out to the car. I would change my shirt, drive across town. Then, right before I deliver the pizza, change back, and then go up to the door. That's how embarrassing it was.
That's like an episode of Three's Company, man.
Alabama Adriana, worst job you've ever had?
Bussing tables.
You're not a server, you're a busser.
Yeah, it was before I could serve, I had to bus, and I bussed for a little bit less than a year. And we would pick up plates, and I think I did some, like, permanent damage to my rotator cuff. Like, it was really, like, fast-paced, and just the part where you had to actually clean the dishes, where I would stick my hand down a drain full of food.
Yeah. Do you ever get hungry doing that job?
Yeah.
And did you ever see somebody leave something on a plate that you would go, that looks kind of good?
I mean, I definitely thought about it, but I never
did.
We had a lot of food.
It. You ate a French fry or something off someone's plate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You did it!
Uh-huh. Like a French fry, that's different.
Wow. Peter, she ate off someone's plate.
Good for you.
I knew it.
I would too.
It was a nasty job. I was just living up to the environment.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Fire you from your horrible gig?
Exactly.
What if it was soup? Would you take a bite? Like
no.
A soup? Oh,
no.
Let me get some of that soup.
Oh, no.
Peter?
Oh, man.
Worst job.
When I was 17 and 18, my first job ever, grunt work for a general contractor. I'm talking the unskilled labor. Mm-hmm. It was a bunch of older guys. I didn't fit in. I was too intellectual. None of them could drive because they all had DUIs. It was awful. It was hard work.
503-417-7575. Worst job. By the way, would you guys take the money? 30 days. You have to watch 30 Disney movies and review them.
As long as I don't have to watch Fox and the Hound, yes.
I don't think I'd do it. It's 30 days.
30 movies in
30
days? 30
movies, and then you have to review them. You also have to review them.
Yeah.
It's not even the money. It's the I don't know. I do that in sports. I don't want to do that for Disney movies.
Couldn't you just say that you've seen them before? Because we've all seen, like, Cinderella or whatever. Yeah. You wouldn't have to actually watch them.
There you are. Eating off someone's plate again. Wow, watch your food over there. Jerry is called in from Woodstock. I want to know your worst job ever. Jerry, what's your worst job?
Okay. Well, one was planting trees up on the Olympic Peninsula for a Weyerhaeuser. But actually, the worst one was down in Salem, outside of Salem with this factory parts thing. And it was graveyard shift. And all I did was stand at this machine where it stamped out, you know, the lids that become the air vents for a trailer where you crank it open. And you had this thing that hooked this went through a pulley and hooked onto these wrist guard things so that if the machine came down and...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.